This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
On hour number three, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 as well. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline as we are headed towards, closer to October. And you know what that means, Bart Scott? That means the Mets aren't playing and the Yankees still.
You're back on board.
Buster, I have to admit that I have done this thing that I'm learning now as I'm very superstitious. I completely gave up on the Yankees. I mean, gave up. I was done. I was out. I said, that's it. I don't want to hear from them until the offseason when changes are made and everything else. And I realized that as much as I want to be back in, they are this – it's amazing the roller coaster that they have been this season. I mean, they've been terrible, then they've been good, then terrible and good, and it just seems to be this up-and-down thing. So I, instead of just being all in and buying in and being excited about winning seven in a row and now all of a sudden sitting in the first wild card spot, having some control, and seeing what Judge and Stanton are doing, I think it's best if I just continue to be a hater and say that this is the high, and even if they do clinch a playoff spot, they're bound to now go back into a valley and go into a low and be a bad team like we've seen them play as well, because that's just the trend of this team all season.
You're 100% right, and it's completely related to the offense, directly related to the offense. I don't think people realize that, you know, they, you know, in recent days have either been first or second in ERA in all the American League. Like, the pitching, while they've had injuries in the rotation, has never really been a serious problem, but the offense has been so up and down, and what we're seeing right now is what everybody envisioned when the Yankees acquired Giancarlo Stanton, that you would have these two monsters in the middle of the order bashing the ball over the place, crushing other teams. You know, they and along with Gleyber Torres, who seems to have, like he is completely a different player since they moved him from shortstop to second base.
He's officially a second baseman.
All of a sudden, this
all
of a sudden, this offense is tremendous. And it makes them, you know, really interesting team as we go down the stretch, and perhaps really dangerous if they get through a wild card game.
Bust a bust. But, I mean, with Judge and Stanton and what they're doing, like, one, has Stanton really had his moment where, like, the haters can just stop hating on him? I know, like, we're waiting for him to have his.
Last year in the playoffs, he was a monster. They just thought nobody else hit.
Yeah,
he
but
did.
No, but like, it's, I still feel like he's underneath that microscope where they're still waiting for him to earn his pay. Hmm. Like, has he had the moment? Has he shown enough where people can kind of back up and just appreciate him, especially as hot as he's been? Like, has he had that moment where people can kind of take a step back and stop criticizing the contract?
No. and I don't mean that from my perspective. I think it's pretty clear how Yankee fans have have regarded him since he's come in. He's followed the same path that we saw with Roger Clemens and with Jason Giambi and Alex Rodriguez and every superstar who drops in from the outside. Francisco Lindor's journey over on the other side of town. If you come in, you take a lot of money, you go to New York, and you don't perform, even from at-bat to at-bat, you're going to get booed. I really think for Stanton to get he's a Yankee for life, it's probably going to take a World Series win. But, you know, it's really cool in talking with other Yankees people about how they feel like that that hasn't affected him. And I was talking to Brian Cashman the other day, he mentioned, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, when he came to the Yankees, remember, he turned down other deals. Mm-hmm. He could have gone to the Cardinals. He probably could have gone to the Giants, some other team. But nope, he basically steered his way through with the use of his no-trade clause to go to the Yankees, and he's been booed, and he hasn't complained one time. You guys remember that moment on Sunday Night Baseball, 16 days ago, when he stopped going around the bases and yelled at Francisco Lindor. In a piece I did that, you know, posted yesterday, other people on the Yankees believe that the foundation of that, of Stanton yelling at Lindor, was basically, stop complaining about the fans. And that's not directly what he said, but that was the underneath, like, hey, you know what? I'm getting booed. You come here, you get booed. You got to handle it better than you are, big man.
I love that. And you know what? It's a great reference. And it almost like that was also a moment where it's the first time I felt like Stanton sort of emerged as more than just a guy like, you know, I hit home runs, I go back in the dugout, I'm like, you know, I keep my head down. He kind of emerges, no, I'm a Yankee. I'm a Yankee. I'm gonna let you hear about it. And the whole, you know, again, a big guy like that, just like Judge, everybody loves getting behind that guy. Like, that's what I do when Bart and I walk, you know, out of the studio and across New York City, is I stand behind Bart because nobody's gonna mess with him. Like, that's sort of the same thing. It's that feeling. But the two of them, I mean, again, Stanton with 13 RBIs in his last four games. Four straight games now with a home run, and these are moonshots, fire, which I know, Buster, you saw first and foremost yourself live, which those are just amazing to watch. But the two of them, he and Judge, have been great together, and when they hit home runs, they almost always win when they both hit home runs in the same game. But I want to ask you about Judge, because you said Stanton's the guy that parachuted in. Judge is the homegrown player with the Yankees, and I find it interesting that the question about him going into the season, can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? Well, he has, and his numbers have been great. He's not the reason why they aren't happy, or they are still fighting to get into the playoffs. He's not the reason why. But there's a really big story coming with him after the season's over, and that's what they do. One more arbitration, and then it's time to go into either free agency or they sign him. He answered those questions the other day, which I found really interesting, how A, he said, oh, those are good questions. Okay, so clearly he wants to talk about his contract. And B, he said, you'll have to ask them because no one has talked to me. Is this an impending situation this offseason? How do you think the Yankees are going to handle this? And has he put pressure on them with the season he's had?
Yes, it's going to be a big part of the conversation. And there are so many unresolved issues around it, that it's going to be, I think, really difficult for the two sides to work out a deal. First and foremost, the collective bargaining agreement. You know, what are those terms going to be? Is that going to be signed early in the offseason so that teams can be more aggressive, feeling like they know the financial system? Or is it going to drag out so that the start of next season is delayed? Where exactly are the numbers going to go? It's a fascinating situation because you have the Yankees with all the money, have a homegrown player who's really popular, he's viewed as a leader within the clubhouse. And then on the flip side, we don't know exactly yet where the market's going to go in free agency for players. The numbers going to go up? Are they going to go down post COVID? You guys have seen the attendance numbers around baseball; they are down. Mm-hmm. How is that going to affect the conversations? I almost feel like that. You know, the two sides are going to have just too little context for the negotiations to strike a deal this winter. I would not at all be surprised if he winds up going into free agency as I think everyone tries to figure out what the new financial landscape is going to look like after the next CBA is signed.
It's amazing. Almost like he came along a little too late, right? That's the thing, because you saw, I mean, he's playing right next to a guy that has that type of a contract that he probably could have earned if the market was the way it was just 5 years ago. We're talking with Buster Olney on the Goodyear Hotline. So John Winthrop, our producer, and I had this debate this morning when we were setting up the show, and he said that he felt like the Cardinals in their 17 straight wins, and what an amazing run that they have had. I mean, 1.3% chance to make the playoffs, Bart, on September 10th.
And there's a chance.
And yet now here they are sitting in wild card two. Amazing. And so with the Dodgers and Giants fighting for the division, the West, he's saying, like, both teams want to do whatever it takes to avoid having to play them. Not just, yeah, you want to win the division, but I don't want to play the Cardinals. You want to stay away from a red-hot team. Because he feels like you have a season like the Giants and Dodgers did. Why bother playing 162 games when a team gets hot at the end and they just run you over and all of a sudden this 100-plus win season is out the window? Do you feel that way?
Yes, but I also, you know, as an employee of the network that does the wild card games, I can tell you there's a huge appetite for the one game and done, everything on the line. But it is absolutely played out repeatedly in baseball history that arguably the best team doesn't advance past it. You know, there were a couple of years at the end of the regular season we thought that the Pittsburgh Pirates might be the best team in the National League. And then in 2014, they ran into Madison Bumgarner at the very beginning of the greatest postseason run we've ever seen by a pitcher. They get knocked out in one game. The next year, they get back to the wild card game, and who do they face? Jake Arrieta at the end of the greatest second half of any pitcher we've ever seen, and they get knocked out again. And on top of that, let's face it, let's say it's the Dodgers, right? And you wind up finishing second in the National League West. You get the wild card game. Guess who you're going against? Adam Wainwright, who's going to be going out there with his heart rate about 45 at 40 years old. Yep. And he's going to know how to use the anxiety of the other hitters against them. And, you know, it would be a fascinating matchup. Bart, I actually thought of you the other day when we were talking about the Cardinals, because you know that there have been so many situations where athletes at the end of the year will stand up and say, nobody believed in us. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones who believed in us. Yeah. And you, as a reporter, you kind of roll your eyes. I tell you what, if any one of the Cardinals stands up and says that, Paul Goldschmidt, Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina, I'll just tip my cap. Because I totally thought, no chance this team makes the playoffs, and we saw them in mid-August. They deserve to be able to say that.
Forget you, Joe Boo. I'll do it myself. You don't want them to go.
Because somebody's got to leave me. You can't wait. That's what you're waiting to
so,
see.
So listen, by going to college at Southern Illinois, I understand and know just how important – the Cardinals are to the St. Louis area, and they can ride that wave. And we've seen them, you know, be magical before.
One of the best baseball towns.
Yeah. I think it is. It's all they have. Like when you think about the fact that the Rams have left and
well, they
went
have the Blues,
Boston. Yeah,
they won a cup.
But you're right, though.
The Cardinals are everything.
It's a Cardinal town.
Right.
Like, are they a legitimate threat to win the World Series, or is this thing just wide open?
Well, do I believe they're a legitimate threat? No. I don't think they're close to the other teams. I will tell you, remember that incredible winning streak the Indians had at near the end of the regular season back in 2017? Yeah, I had folks on that team tell me after the fact, like, oh, boy, it actually kind of became a distraction. It sucked out all the energy from the team, and that was what we were focusing on down the stretch as opposed to getting ready for the playoffs. I do wonder if there are people in the Cardinals organization who are thinking, wouldn't be a bad thing to lose a game, so we can just move past that.
I
actually think that, when you look at the depth and try to compare that to the Giants or the Dodgers, they're not close. But here's the thing. It's baseball. there's so many situations in the past where the team that we all look past won the World Series in 2006. I was standing at a baggage claim, and there was this advanced scout there who had been assigned to the Cardinals, and he looked at me. He said, God, they're playing terrible. There's no way they win even a game in the postseason. Well, they won the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay? That's just baseball.
That's baseball. That certainly is. Would be remiss not to ask you about the Mets, and I need to – I heard something on the Michael Kay Show in New York City on 98.7 ESPN, and this is a stat – that blew my mind. You probably know it, but they now are officially, because now they have clinched a losing record.
Yeah.
First team to ever
hold first place
for over 100 days or more. I think it's 100-something days, 140-something days maybe, and finish with a losing record. That's never happened before, which is remarkable if you really think about the season they've had. Again, talk about highs and lows. So what – with Steve Cohen now going through everything that he's had to go through, general managers, interim general managers, they've got to reset everything there. What could you see happening with the Mets? And do you feel like it's just more of the same? Like we thought with a new owner, the Mets were just going to be a different franchise, right? That it was always going to be the Wilpons. But man, have we seen more Mets are going to Met this season like we've have over the last 20 years?
And I've had people in the organization tell me that they found this year to be more dysfunctional than it was under the Wilpons, which is a high bar.
Yes.
Okay. or a low bar, depending on your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt that they have to figure out how to reset this thing, and it's going to start with whoever they bring in to oversee baseball operations to work under Sandy Alderson, and they need a star. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go that route of the unproven person, the Jared Porter, the Zach Scott. They just can't. They got to go out and get somebody. But the problem is, whether it's someone like David Stearns, the Brewers, who I think the Mets probably would love to talk to. He's under contract for another year. They may not have the opportunity to actually to interview him. You know, Billy Beane, potentially, his name has been thrown out there. I've talked with friends of his, and they're like, no way does he come to New York.
Wow.
Jump into that maelstrom. And here's the thing, and I know Steve Cohen doesn't like to hear it. We know because his reaction to that New York Post story 2 weeks ago where people were quoted, anonymous executives were quoted as saying that the tweeting is a problem. I can tell you guys, the tweeting is a problem. It's the first thing that's brought up by people in other organizations who Steve would probably like to hire, because for them – it's like a barometer of dysfunction in their eyes that you have a very active owner on social media. At one point, criticized the offensive players. At one point, releasing information about an injured player. What his status was. Telling fans that the game was canceled before the team actually announced it. All that stuff in the current era of these button-down executives, front office analysts, they don't like that. And they don't want this unpredictable force with Steve. And I think he's got to get his head around that.
You have to hire somebody that's going to be a big enough name that will say, yep, I'm not taking the job if you're going to do this. Like, it really has to be someone that – like I was thinking Theo Epstein would be the one guy, because what a triple crown that would be if he can get the Mets to win a World Series. I mean, that would be the ultimate triple crown, right? I mean, with the Red Sox,
well,
Cubs, and Mets, oh, my
when
God.
You talk to, yeah, you're 100% right. I will tell you that, I mean, Theo's already, you know, he's going to go down in history as the greatest executive ever, because he conquered the Mount Everest and the K2 of baseball with the Red Sox and the Cubs in the years they didn't win a World Series. But in talking with all of his friends, they believe that Theo, his end game is to become part of some ownership. And that doesn't mean owning 2% of the Mets. That means being a significant shareholder in a franchise, say in San Diego, if the Padres were ever sold.
Yeah, all right. Still got to bring in somebody then that's got enough to say to him, you really want me? Okay, if you really want me, you've got to promise me in writing that stuff stops. Because it's right. It just makes it still feel like a bit of a circus.
Yeah.
And you don't want that for a franchise that, as we know, has a lot of that in its history.
Yeah. Like you got a fan. Absolutely. Organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Buster, before I let you go, or we let you go, when Shohei Ohtani, was looking and decided to come to, to the league, a lot of that was based on location and being on the West Coast, so it can be closer to be able to get home, but also the Asian fan base that's on the West Coast. But at this point, he's a star, and have those sentiments changed? Because he's out there, and much like Trout, we have two of the best baseball players that we never get to see in high pressure situations. It's almost a shame, because I feel like it ruins them of their greatness. Is it a foregone conclusion that he's going to, sign long-term there, or will he decide to say, you know what, I want to take my talent somewhere else where I can be on the big stage where I deserve to be?
It's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to stay there, and his comments the other day absolutely caught the attention of other front offices around baseball, where he said, I want to win. That was viewed as being a high inside fastball to the Angels leadership. He may not have intended it to have been perceived that directly. He's a very respectful person. But I think he's saying out loud probably what even someone like Mike Trout might feel like. Look, we got to get this right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's year after year after year of idiots like me saying that, they need pitching, they need pitching, they need pitching. They got to figure it out. And they have 2 years to do that. And keep in mind that Ohtani's presence in itself is a complicating factor, because they already have Trout under contract for like $36 million a year for the next 10 years. And then you got Anthony Rendon under contract for $35 million a year through 2026 with a full no trade. Ohtani probably is going to cost, in the estimates I've gotten from other front offices, about $50 million a year in his contract. And so you're talking about $120 million in three players for a team that typically doesn't spend over $180 million, which is why that team in the last draft, they had 20 picks. They took a pitcher with every pick, because they know they're going to need cheap pitching coming up here to fill out that roster.
Yeah, no, that is definitely something to see. And if you're the league, too, you're just looking at the Angels like, I mean, give me a break. You got two of the biggest stars in the game, and yet it's just there's just nothing there. Hey, Buster, it's always great to talk to you. Your perspective is so valued here. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
That sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Buster Olney giving us that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Man, Buster always brings it, doesn't he?
Always.
All right, so Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I do want to mention something here, though, Bart, that we talked about yesterday. We only got a few minutes, but I just want to get this part in, because it's picking up off of a story from yesterday that we spent a lot of time on. And that is regarding the NBA and the vaccination debate going on within the players' union. Now, the union has made it clear they are not going to step in. They're not going to be part of any agreement with the league to mandate for all players that they have to be vaccinated. So with that in mind, I said, okay, now the ball is back in the NBA's court. What the union saying is it's up to the league to handle this.
Yeah.
Well, the league can't mandate vaccines, but what they can do, though, is make other rules. And that's what they've done today. So a statement that was sent out by the league, I got it before the show, is this. Any player who elects to not comply with local vaccination mandates, meaning, of course, New York City, and that would be Kyrie Irving. The Knicks are 100% vaccinated, so it's not an issue for them. But for the Nets, all we know is, based on his not being available on media day and the questions asked to him that Kyrie is not vaccinated. So he would not be available to play in any home games or games at the Garden. That's 43 games.
Yeah.
That's more than half the season. He would not be available to play.
What's his annual salary?
So with that in mind, let me just explain it. With that in mind, the league is saying this. And Andrew Wiggins for the Warriors is the other one. Any player who elects not to comply with local vaccination mandates, New York City and San Francisco both mandating home team players must be vaccinated in order to play in closed stadium games. So they said, will not be paid for games that he misses. So for Kyrie, that's more than half your season. That is more than half your salary. Andrew Wiggins, same thing. Not only are you losing a starter for the Nets and for the Warriors, those guys are now losing money. And I said, this is going to come down to money. It always does.
Yeah.
And so now you look at the players and say, okay, well, there's the rule. So teams know I don't have to pay you. That's the mandate. If you miss games because this is your decision, okay, personal decision, fine. We respect it. But understand, you're electing not to play, which means we are now withholding your salary.
Right, because you're
that's a big deal.
Because you're capable of playing, but you're not allowed because it's something that, a decision you made, which is your decision.
Right.
But it's fine.
It's not an injury.
But
not anything else.
We shouldn't have to pay you that.
Yeah, everybody else, is agreeing to it. You do not. We respect it. We're not forcing you to do anything. Right. But you can't expect us to pay you while you're opting not to play.
If some of these guys were smart, or if they saw this coming, they would have took out insurance policies on themselves and put money into it to kind of make up for the lost salary that you have.
I think a lot of people think that eventually this mandate by the cities might
get blocked.
They might eventually just be lifted. But the point is that is now what it's officially become. It's officially become part of the business, and money now is at the root of it. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for the calls. Coming up, all right, so we're 3 weeks into the NFL season. Who are the best? Bart Scott will reveal his top five NFL teams. We will also get to your calls. But first, Bart has this from ZipRecruiter.
According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where will they go to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter actually gets a qualified candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive website, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this.
From the biggest names in sports.
Justin Herbert, ladies and gentlemen.
To the stories that matter.
The New England Patriots want to play that way. They want to protect
the young. And plenty of opinions.
It's simple. Justin Fields is better, but I'm willing to.
And it starts every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, right here on ESPN Radio. Or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Little Last Dance from Mary Jane, Bart Scott. Double meaning song, in case you're wondering, from Tom Petty. Today's Petty Day, just because Aaron Rodgers is so petty, because we know Tom Brady's going to be petty when he goes to New England, and because everybody has that little bit of petty in them, so we just thought we'd talk about that today. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Buster Olney was fantastic with us just in the previous segment. If you missed it, Just go wherever you find your podcast, find Bart and Han, and of course subscribe. And you can hear Buster and what he said about the Yankees. I thought what he said about Aaron Judge and what's facing the Yankees and Aaron Judge this offseason was also worth listening to, or something if you're a Yankees fan you want to hear. And then Shohei Ohtani. Your question to him about Ohtani was also, his response on that was interesting as well. We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bart Scott, we are 3 weeks into the season. Week four begins tomorrow. So far, we have 3-0 teams. We have 0-3 teams, a whole bunch of them.
Yep.
Teams we believe in, teams we're realizing are not as good as we might have thought they were. But what we want right now from you is your top five
Just
NFL
five.
Teams.
Just five.
Top five, starting from five. Go.
All right.
Number five.
These are my five top teams in the NFL. In no particular order. Yes, they are.
Yes,
they
are.
In particular order. Yes, I said it. Exactly. I'm going to start off, and you can call me biased. You can say whatever, ever you want. I'm going to go with number five. I'm going to go Baltimore/Cleveland.
And wait, the reason what? You say you yeah, can't do a tie?
I got to go with a tie, man. I'm talking about, you know, the battle for the AFC North going on right there. But when I look at
it's
it,
terrible.
Right? When I look at it, right? You talk about Lamar Action Jackson, and listen, last week you saw why the offensive line.
You can see
I'm gas facing you for tying on your first power rank.
Listen, you can see why Lamar Jackson doesn't throw for prolific pass yards, because guess what? He has a receiver that's been his number one receiver for probably about 3 or 4 years now who can't catch.
Hollywood.
Like part of the job of being a receiver is to catch the ball. I don't know if he needs some Spider Tacky 3000. He needs something, man, because he dropped two touchdowns that would have put Lamar Jackson well over 350 yards. Cleveland is Cleveland. The defense is a lot better. Odell Beckham found a way to coexist, you know, with Baker Mayfield, but he hasn't
wrap it up
yet with Jarvis Landry. So I have them as number five.
Number four.
Josh Allen has looked good. He started off a little slow with the completion rate. You know, he was completing, like, going back to his old ways of having a lot of incompletions. Mm-hmm. But he seems to have found their stride. We know that they're well-coached. He looks like he's every bit the player he was last year, but the difference is his defense has stepped up just slightly after having a bad loss, you know, in week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So at number four, I have the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Number three, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know they lost two games in a row. Listen, I know they could have lost to Cleveland. They could very well be 0-3. But sometimes when you've been successful, you've been to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, you get a little bit lazy. You think that it's going to be easy. You think that you can just roll the football out there, Patrick Mahomes, and do something great, and then you'll be able to win the game. The problem is they haven't been able to get out to these big leads early in games to allow this defense to be hitting. But guess what they did? Oh, yes, Flash Gordon, on his 75th chance, has been reinstated, and they wasted no time going out there and getting Flash Gordon. Now, is he the Flash Gordon that we knew in Cleveland? I don't know.
Why'd they
is
get
he the
him?
Flash Gordon in, that they had in,
but why?
In, with the Patriots? No. Is he the Flash Gordon that we may be seeing out there with DK Metcalf? I don't know. But really what they miss Sammy Watkins, as teams have decided that we're going to take away Tariq Hill, and we're going to double or figure out a way to try and take away Kelce. So we need somebody that's a threat. Harmon hasn't lived up to it this year, and he needs to make these teams pay. They go get Flash Gordon. Number three. And number two, yeah, I know they lost last week. They got the baddest man in the planet. And, of course, they ran it back last year, bringing everybody back. Or they ran it back this year. Tampa Bay lost last week, but I haven't lost any faith in them. I still think that Tom Brady will figure this thing out. I think it's a good thing that they don't have to worry about being undefeated and have to carry that scarlet letter and all that pressure trying to go for greatness, even though Tom Brady believes that that's so. He can handle it. I don't think the rest of those guys can. They'll figure everything out. Antonio Brown wasn't there. JPP wasn't there. If they play the Rams again, it'll be a much better matchup because they'll be all intact. Okay, so number one,
number one.
No surprise. I've said it, right? I said this team was going to be in the Super Bowl. My Super Bowl picks, just so people can understand, before the season, was the Rams versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm still on that a little bit. But I tell you what, you talk about the Rams, Matthew Stafford, who should be on everybody's list for MVP. And it's not about the final numbers. It's about him and how that offense looks and what he adds to that dimension. As long as DeSean Jackson continues to stay healthy, I know that's a big if. But if they can do that, I don't even think it's that difficult. I think they run away with the division. I think they run away all the way to the Super Bowl and eventually win it.
All right, so your top five then would be Rams at number one, Bucks number two, Chiefs number three, Bills four, and then the Raven Browns.
Yeah. They're the same team anyway.
It's cop-out, man.
They're the same team anyway.
Same guy that said the Browns aren't making the playoffs now says they're tied.
I just said right now, bro. These things are fluid. These things change.
Not in the top five. The Saints?
No.
Packers?
No.
Really?
No, I'm not worried about the Packers, man. Listen, they could have very well lost that game. Like, come on, man. They start off slow, and that's Jimmy G.
R-E-L-A-X.
See, this is the thing, relax. Right? This is the thing. The same thing I said when people are like, oh, Tom Brady just scored a touchdown. I said, listen, Matthew Stafford hit one of his equals are on the other side. Like, when you say that with Aaron Rodgers, you can't say his equals on the other side when they have Jimmy G. But if you say that about the Rams, or if they match up against Tampa, you're going to say the better quarterback or the equal quarterback is over there. So that doesn't
mean it's a rough night, I guess, for some of those he doesn't care campers.
Listen, I'm not whoever the tight end is, Jermichael Finley. I keep it real. I just call balls and strikes.
I hear you.
The Cardinals not there as well.
On the Dr. Pepper Twitter handle, at Bart N. Hahn, Twitter feed, Paul sent us a photo. This is a reference from earlier in the show, of his conversion van from 23 years ago, and this thing is just absolutely beautiful.
Decked out, man.
He said he's got the captain's chairs, ooh, TV, burgundy velour interior, Corinthian leather, vertical running interior roof lights, side mood lights. Oh, and yes, a queen size sleeper bed.
Yes, he paid for. Does he have the shades on the side though? Does he have the shades? Remember the shades? Like it was the blinds on the side.
Yeah, I can see it. And yes, yeah. He's got the blinds. All right,
it's official like a whistle.
So coming up. So we were talking baseball before.
Yep.
The Seattle Mariners have made a push to get that second wild card because the Blue Jays have struggled. And because the Red Sox have struggled, they are trying to snap what is a 20-year playoff drought.
Wow.
If they do it, Bart Scott, do you know who then would hold the record among the four major pro sport leagues in North America of the longest playoff drought? We will tell you next, might surprise you. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and of course on the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You asked the question, so how much money would Kyrie Irving lose?
Did you multiply by pi and divide by
$17 million. Dollars.
Whoa!
Now, the NBA has put out a statement saying that those players who don't comply with local mandates about players being vaccinated in order to be able to play in your home stadium, and that's New York and also San Francisco. So Kyrie Irving being, you know, with the example, it would be $400,000 a game. Ugh. So 43 games would be $17
million. Yikes.
That's a big decision.
I don't care how much money you got, bro. $17 million.
It's a big decision.
Yeah.
You know, it really is for him. I mean, a personal one, of course, personal choice. But that's a big choice.
It's a choice.
Let's see what he decides to do. And, of course, if you're the Nets and you're like, well, okay, so we'll keep you for the other 30, you know, 38 games. Like,
wish he had a Morris twin or something like that that can come hoop for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you don't want that 17? I go get that 17. True. That's all me.
Morris brothers. One is back then and one's not.
I give you six.
Oh, my God.
Hey, bro, I give you six.
So, all right. So, a great story, Bart, is the Seattle Mariners, right, and the push that they have done here. So, you know, they are now a half game back of Boston, and Boston's lost four in a row. Remember, they got swept by the Yankees. They lost to the Orioles last night, right? So the Mariners have won three straight. They've won nine of their last 10. And now they're a half game out, right, with still, I think, five to go. So, you know, some work to do, but still a half game out. Mm-hmm. It's the closest they've been to making the playoffs in a long time. So it's been 20 years since they've made the playoffs. Mm. Let's just say they do it, right? Let's say they do it. They get in, they make the playoffs, drought over. Mm. Who is the next team?
So you're saying one drought ends and another one.
Well, now you become the next team, right? Like the Bills ended their drought, and that obviously was a super long one. They ended that. So who then would become the next team of the four major sports? It's not easy for you. I'll give you this one.
No, I
want you to answer the NFL one because it's an NFL one that's after this one. So it's an NBA team, and it's the Sacramento Kings. Been 15 years.
Oh.
Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah, oh, man.
It's been tough in Sacramento,
man.
It's
been a long time since Body Divas.
I remember Peja Stojakovic and that whole group.
Turkaloo.
Oh, man. Mike Bibby. Like, they had a squad at one point, right?
Was it with Bobby Jackson?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they had a squad, man. That was a good team. Doug Christie. Was Doug Christie part of that?
Chris Webber. Yeah, he was there.
Chris C-Webb. And
who was that uppercut?
White Chocolate, too, man.
Yeah, who remember?
Jason Williams.
Who's the dude that uppercut to Christie? Chris Childs or somebody. Somebody caught him with an uppercut.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So anyways. So that's that streak. So the NFL streak is 10 years.
Okay.
All right.
I think that's tied
with another with an NHL streak, which would be the 10 next
years?
One.
Oh, it's 10 years?
So the Sabres, Buffalo Sabres, have been out. They haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. Yeah. So who's the NFL team that hasn't made the playoffs in 10
years? You said 10 years? Right. Okay. Right. Can't wait. 2010. It's been the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, I'm sorry, the Jets. The Jets. Thanks a lot. The Jets.
I can't believe that's true.
And the Giants are right behind them at 8.
I can't believe that's true. No. The Giants made the playoffs. Remember in 20? What was it?
Oh yeah, the Love Boat.
Yeah, Banana Boat. Yeah. Right, that whole thing. Odell and all them. Well,
yeah, that's
The Broncos and Cardinals and Bengals are at 5 years, but 10 years since the Jets made the play. Is it really that? Has it been 10 years?
10 years. I knew it was 10 years. I just thought maybe the Lions had been, like, maybe longer.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. But remember,
when they had the championship, but 11-5.
The Lions had a couple of those.
Cotwell.
They went 9-4 to start the season in 20.
Yeah, Jim Cotwell.
17, 16. And then they lost their last three.
Yeah.
Finished 9-7. Right, Caldwell. And then they made the playoffs. They got smoked by Seattle.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Jeez.
Yeah, so they even – because you're right. I looked – like I was going through these, and John and I were doing it before the show, and I'm like, it can't be. It cannot be the Jets. Like,
we number somebody 32.
Somebody's had to have been out of the place forever. The Lions have never win. They never win. He's like, nah, remember that? I'm like, what?
One time at band camp?
Yeah, that one time at band camp. So it's you, your team. That's it. Now, remember, the Jets in 15 went into Buffalo.
10-6, yeah. But they were 10-5.
And Buffalo was going nowhere. All they had to do was win that game. Fitzy.
Was Rex there? Brandon.
Right?
No, it was
Marshall.
Decker and Decker. Yep.
Yeah, Decker was there. And
they didn't show up.
And that was Rex's. That was it for him. I mean, that really did him in. They just didn't show up.
Wasn't Rex already gone?
Was that Bowles?
Yeah, that was Bowles. And Rex was the one who stopped them from making it.
That's right. That's why I'm thinking of Rex.
That was Rex's Super Bowl.
That was Bowles's. That's right. Bowles. And that didn't. Yeah. Oh, man. That team, man. Like. How frustrating.
A lot of scar tissue around here, man.
Remember, I think it was Brandon Marshall. There was a one throw where he wouldn't lay out.
Yeah.
Like, there was just moments in that game. And Willie Colon, who was on that team, was injured, didn't play in that game. I'll never forget when we were talking about it on air one time. And I was like, what happened to that game? He's like, I don't know. He goes, but pregame, I could feel it. We didn't have it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't have it? How do you not have it for a playoff game?
You better go.
But
that
was literally a playoff game.
And it was the
win,
Buffalo Bills.
And you're in.
It wasn't a great team.
Oh, my God. So it's so frustrating. So, yeah. So if the Mariners get in, it's now the Sacramento Kings.
Thanks a lot.
And then after that,
thanks a lot for ruining my day.
Your New York Jets, Bart Scott. Yes.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Indeed. All right. Week 4 of the NFL underway tomorrow. So we got plenty more to get into with that as we continue to see if the Yankees can continue their push and the Mariners their push. Oh my God, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. It's all happening, Bart Scott.
Sports Nevada.
Yes. See you tomorrow, everybody.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.